بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم نحمده و نصلی علی رسول الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ tonight is the 14th of December in the year 2020 and alhamdulillah we're beginning the second week the eighth night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the venerable chief of al-Khazraj Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu. And I've started the subsection in which I'm taking a glimpse into what our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described this blessed household as the house of generosity. And I was highlighting that the famous son of Sa'ad, Qais, was just like his father. They would go on jihad on alternate years, and also he would use the wealth of his father to look after the guests of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the last thing I mentioned was that his father gave him four orchards, i.e. to pay off his debts. In another report it mentions, Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah alayhi in his Al-Istiya, volume 2, page 539, Sayyidina Kathir ibn Salat radiyallahu anhu, he had a debt which he owed to someone. He had no way of paying off his debt, and his creditor was imposing upon him either to pay what he owes or to give his house in exchange. So basically a companion called Khathir radiallahu anhu, he couldn't pay his debt off. And he goes, if you can't pay your debt, I want your house. Sayyidina Khathir radiallahu anhu did not want to part with his house. So what was he to do? He was naturally concerned about the money which he owed. But there was still a shortfall of 30,000 dirhams. He then thought of Sayyidina Qais radiallahu anhu, and thus went to his dwelling and asked him for a loan of 30,000 dirhams. Sayyidina Qais immediately gave him the 30,000. Sayyidina Kathir radiallahu anhu then went to his creditor. Meanwhile, whilst this was happening, his creditor had a change of heart. Thus, when Kathir radiallahu anhu arrived, he said, you don't need to pay me. I've, you know, written off the debt. Sayyidina Kathir radiallahu anhu then returned to Sayyidina Qais radiallahu anhu to now return the 30,000 dirhams. But subhanallah, Sayyidina Qais refused. And he responded, when I give something, I never take it back. Meaning, you can keep it. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So this is recorded by Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Istiyab, one of his famous works. So again, note, human beings, they've got problems. The Sahaba had problems just like us. He was in debt. And who did he think of that? You know, think about that. You always think of the one that you know will help you. And that's a sign that that person's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, one of the scholars said that. He goes, if you want to know who's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's the first person you think of when you want something doing? Because he's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah ta'ala is blessing him, nobody else. This is why Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, when a person comes to me to fulfill his need, this is more beloved to me than the whole world full of gold. This is in Nasa'i. Why? Because Ali was saying, look, I must be dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he thought of Qais. He went to him and imagine, not 30 dirhams, 30,000 dirhams. So he goes, look, I'm in serious debt. Is there any way you can help me out? And you get this impression that he just said, yeah, 30,000. So Kathir straight away went to his creditor. But look how noble the creditor was. He was thinking, you know, end of the day, Sahaba, and I put pressure on him. He goes, I'll forgive him. So when he came, he goes, look, I've wrote the debt off. So Kathir said, Jazakallah khair, went back to Qais. And Qais goes, I don't take back what I give. So what happened? He ended up with 30,000 dirhams. Right? So what do you notice? He was like his father. Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu, he was making dua, Ya Allah, bless me with wealth so I can, you know, do the goodness. And it rubbed off onto his son. So Qais was doing this radiallahu anhu. This majestic man, just like his venerable father, would frequently help others with regards to his wealth. For instance, a woman once stood in front of Qais ibn Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu and said, I complain to you of the lack of mice in my house. So the people looked at each other. What did he just say? Kay smiled. He goes, how beautiful is this illusion? Fill her house now with bread, meat and cooking butter. Fill her house now with bread, meat and cooking butter. So this is recorded by Hafiz Ibn Abd Rabbih in his Al-Iqd Al-Farid, volume 1, page 174 of the English translation, in the chapter on chrysolite. Al-Bidayah, in the chapter on the rule of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. So think about this. That woman, she was destitute. So did she say this? I need some money. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. She put it in a way that she hid that fact. But she was thinking, if he's got understanding, he'll understand what I'm saying. So what did she say to Qais? I complain to you of lack of mice. Now what does that mean? If there's no mice in your house, there's no food. That's what she was getting across, meaning I'm destitute. So people didn't get it. Qais smiled. Oh, he goes, how beautiful. Did she get her point across? Then what did he do? He goes, fill her house with bread, meat and cooking butter. Now be honest, if somebody came to you and said that, what would you say? Well, I'll call the environmental agent and say, you know, oh, you haven't got that. So why are you telling me that I haven't got mice in my house? MashaAllah. You'll even say, MashaAllah, you must have a beautiful house. You don't even realize they're complaining. At the same time, look how noble the destitute. You know, they weren't like, nah, me miskina, me this and that, find out he's a millionaire, astaghfirullah. Hafiz ibn Qudama rahmatullah alayh relates in his Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin, Discipline, the Path to Spiritual Growth, page 109 of the English translation. Sayyidina Qais ibn Sa'd ibn Ubadah was once ill, radiyallahu anhu. But subhanallah, not one of his brothers went to visit him. So think about that. He's very ill. Nobody's come to visit. So somebody said to him, they are all now shy to visit you due to the debts which they owe you. In other words, because they all owe you debts, that's why they're not coming. So Sayyidina Qais, even though he was very ill, radiyallahu anhu, he said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgrace a wealth which prevents brothers from visits. And then what did he do? He thereupon instructed someone to call out, whoever has a right with Qais, he is now free from it at once. I have written off all the debts. Shortly thereafter, the steps to his dwelling broke due to the sheer number of people that came to visit. SubhanAllah. I think about these. These aren't stories. You know, somebody made a nice story up about somebody. These are fakes. So imagine he's ill and they were used to people coming. That was this time of the Sahaba. Why nobody coming to visit? Don't they know the hadiths? And then somebody said, they owe you debts. Now think about it. How many people has he helped? Nobody came. That means he's helped everybody. Imagine, all of Donald, nobody comes. Why? They all owe you debts. And what did he do straight away? He didn't say, astaghfirullah, I gave them money. And they don't even come when I'm ill. I'm going to stop giving money. Like we do, right? What sort of bakwas is that, brother? Right? Qais straight away said, astaghfirullah, he goes, well, which prevents brothers from visits. He goes, no chance. And he goes, make an announcement, write off. Let me ask you a question. How much was wrote off? Right? You know, that one person gave 30,000 times that by 100. He's wrote off millions. And then what happened? So many people came that the steps to his dwelling broke due to the sheer number that came to visit. This was Qais, radiallahu anhu. Hafiz ibn al-Athir summed up the entire matter when he said in Asadul Ghaba, the narratives surrounding Qais's generosity are well known and famous. The narratives surrounding Qais radiallahu anhu's generosity are well known and famous. Now this is the tragedy. Are they? When he said that, you get this impression. You all know this anyway, but I'm just mentioning it for blessings. For example, a famous hadith. Think of a famous hadith. Somebody goes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are not a true believer until you wish for your brother what you wish for yourself. So you hear anything, mashallah, brother. Because you've all heard this report, brother. I just want to remind you. That's how people knew about Qais. Now, who's Qais? Qais is a footballer, right? No. Actor? No. Sahaba? Yeah. Who's Sahaba? I haven't got a clue. So there you go. While you think we're at the bottom of the pit, you've left the role models. And Hafiz Ibn al-Athir said, well known. And his work is called The Lions of the Jungle. Who did he call lions? The Sahaba. And what is the jungle? The world. Because Allah Ta'ala let loose lions in this world. Who were they? The Sahaba. Asadul Ghaba. And he had so much knowledge of the Sahaba Ibn al-Athir, they gave him a nickname. He goes, he's the son of the Sahaba. He's their putr. Right? So think about that. You know how much their love they had for the Sahaba? Nah, big joke, brother. Don't even know top 10 from his paradise. He goes, what's top 10 hits and charts? Oh yeah. Right, straight away. What about top 10 Sahaba? Don't be this one, right? So subhanallah, such was just a glimpse into the house of generosity. Now think about that. Who was Qais? Who produced Qais? It didn't come out of a vacuum, right? Obviously, Rasulullah first and foremost, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but his father, Sa'ad ibn Ubad. So now let's start another subsection. A glimpse into the father's education of his noble son. So we know that he trained him to be very generous and jihad. But what else do we know? What else do you do for his son? Imam Tirmidhi, in the chapter on Ahkam, he relates that Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu had in his possession a sahiha collection where he had documented the sayings and sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that his noble son Qais radiyallahu anhu would relate a hadith from that blessed sahiha. Think about that. So Sa'ad ibn Ubadah was a scribe, and he would write the hadiths down. Whenever the Prophet spoke, he would write it down. He ended up with a sahifa. Sahifa is like we call it a jot pad, a notepad. Who did he give it to? Fishmonger, right? Qais. And Qais, he would relate hadith from it. He'd say, yes, my father wrote down that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, where is this recorded? Imam Tirmidhi in his sunnah. So what's he training his son to do? Be a fishmonger, right? He's telling him, these are hadiths. I'm writing them down. Right? You memorize them, propagate them. Imam Bukhari in the chapter on jihad had further related that this same blessed sahifa was later integrated into the collection of a hadith that another leading companion had compiled in his own handwriting, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiyallahu. So where is that sahifa? Somebody goes, it's lost. No, it's not lost. Another sahaba called Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa, he took all those hadiths, put it into his collection. Many of the blessed companions had written a compilation of hadith, such as Abu Huraira, Abdullah ibn Amr, Jabir ibn Abdullah, Abdullah ibn Abbas, etc. radiyallahu ta'ala. All of these were later absorbed by the famous compilers of sacred hadith. So why is this important to point out? Because you get some crackpots, and I've heard them myself. Because hadith aren't important. Because why? Because they didn't even write them. They only wrote the Quran. Hadith came 200 years after people started compiling them. They started doing this with their hands. 200 years later. And then you go, so let me get this straight, brother. The Quran was compiled by the Sahaba. And the Sahaba didn't give a monkeys about the hadith. And they're looking at that with a confused look. But that's what you said. You said it in a polite way. And he goes, yeah, there you go. That's how much you know. Sahaba had their own collections. And they're looking at that. Well, where are they then? Where are they? And he goes, they've been absorbed into the famous collections. All those hadiths you'll find in Bukhari, Muslim, Nasai, they didn't get lost. Right? So it's important to highlight that. The Sahaba preserved the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a lie that it came 200 years later. It started immediately upon the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu in Ibn Sa'ad in Istabaqat, volume 3, page 477 of the English translation, in the chapter on the companions of Badr, it mentions Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu would write Arabic in Jahiliyyah at a period when writing was rare amongst the Arabs. He was also a skilled swimmer and an archer, and whoever was adept in all three was called Al-Qamil, the complete. So let's look at this. So why did the Jahiliyyah Arabs not write? Because that's called ajam. Now what's strange is, writing for us is a big thing. Oh, he's no, we call it, he can write, he can read. Arabs will laugh at that. Why? Because they thought you were thick. Their memories, they were like sponges. But some of them did learn how to write. Who was one of them? Sa'ad ibn Ubadah. That's number one. Number two, he was a skilled swimmer. Where did he learn that? He wasn't living in Norway, right? In Al-Madinah. You know, where did he learn to swim? Skilled. And he was a skilled archer. So what three things was he expert in? Writing, swimming, and archery. And Ibn Sa'ad rahmatullah alayhi said, whoever had all these three, they were called Al-Qamil, the complete. So what was he completed? Writing and ready for jihad. Indeed, Hafiz Al-Baqilani rahmatullah alayhi, in his Al-Intisar, page 274, had enlisted Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu amongst the noble scribes of our beloved Messenger. There wasn't many scribes who wrote the revelation or the letters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'ad was one of them. Think about that. Look how close he was to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So don't get this impression that all he was generous. He did jihad a bit of generosity. He was an alim. And he was writing. He had his own hadith collection and he was ready for whatever the Prophet was going to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The venerable father thus taught his son Qais the most sublime manners. So let's take a glimpse into this now. Let's look at how he educated his son. In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad 3-138, Bazar Baghawi in his Sharh al-Sunnah, Mishkat volume 1, number 186W, in the chapter on hospitality and entertainment, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid volume 8, page 34, states Sahih. Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 7, page 58-9 of the English translation. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 69 of the New English translation. Anas radiyallahu anhu, he said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once sought permission to enter the home of Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Then, although Sa'ad replied by returning the greeting, he did it in a voice that was not audible to Rasulullah. So what's happened? Rasulullah wants to go into Sa'ad's dwelling. He goes, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Sa'ad hears it inside and he does this. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said it again. He goes, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Sa'ad whispered it again. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Third time he does it. Sa'ad does exactly the same. When Rasulullah then turned to leave, Sa'ad then ran out. He goes, may my parents be sacrificed for you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every salam of yours fell on my ears. I replied each time in a voice that you could not hear. I only did this because I wanted to get more of your salam and blessings. He then took Rasulullah into his dwelling, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and served him some olive oil, which he ate. So now what's happening? Who's witnessing this case? You know that me and you, we wouldn't know how to honor the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? He's thinking, this is a priceless salam. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Afshus salam, spread the salam, it'll create love between you. In one hadith in Ahmad, it goes, the hypocrite salam is a curse. Meaning it has to be a genuine salam. So when you say As-salamu alaykum, it must be sincere. So when Rasulullah is saying it, it's sincere. So Sa'ad thought, I need to get as much of this as possible. So he's returning the salam. And how many times do you have to ask? 3 times. The Prophet does it 3 times, then he walks away, then he runs out. Oh, I heard you all the time. I wanted to get more blessings. Please come, Ya Rasulullah. And he gave him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam olive oil, which he ate. Qais was present. What happened? Qais radiyallahu anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once visited us at our home and greeted us with the words above. Although my father replied by returning the salam, he did it in a voice that was not audible to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I thereupon was shocked. I was, dear father, Are you not going to allow entry for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? My father replied, rather allow Rasulullah to offer salam to us many times. The unparalleled salam was then offered three times, each with the same low response. When Rasulullah turned to leave sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my father quickly followed him saying, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I certainly heard you, but I was responding silently so that you can abundantly send supplications of peace upon us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then entered the dwelling, and my father had some water brought for him to bathe if he wished. Think about that. He needs to get a gondola, wash your hands. He brought water because you need to have a bath, Ya Rasulullah. Everything will be done for you. And he had a bath. After he bathed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sa'ad then gave him a shawl to wear that was dyed in saffron and in waras, a fragrant grass. He said, Ya Rasulullah, please accept this. Give him this gift, something to wear. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon raised his hand and made the following dua. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shower your special mercy and compassion on the family of Sa'ad. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shower your special mercy and compassion on the family of Sa'ad. In another wording, Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shower your special mercy on the family of Sa'ad ibn Ubadah and forgive them. This is in Abu Dawood, Kanz al-Umal, volume 5, page 190, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 164 of the New English Translation. The hadith continues. The Holy Prophet then started to eat the food. When he later intended to leave, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu gave him a donkey that was prepared with a fine shawl draped over it. My father then called out, Ya Qais, go with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I thereupon accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet beckoned me to ride with him, I declined the offer due to awe. He thereupon said, you may either ride or go back. I thereupon returned. So Sa'ad ibn Ubadah said, son, accompany Rasulullah, wherever he wants to go. So the Prophet said, sit on the donkey. And he politely said, no, it's okay. And then the Prophet said, you either ride or you may return. He said, I returned. So where is this recorded? In Nasa'i, number 10,157, Abu Dawud, number 5,185, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 15,050 or 3-421, Jam'ul Fawaid, volume 2, page 143, Fathul Bari, 11-170, is Hassan. Hafiz Ibn al-Mulaqin states, Sahih, in his Al-Badr al-Munir, 2-256, Hafiz Ibn al-Kathir in his Tafsir, 6-37, states Hassan. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 675-6 of the New English Translation. However, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi stated da'if in his da'if Sunan Abi Dawood number 5185. So this hadith, according to many of the ulama, is authentic. Many of the ulama said it's hasan, and some have said there's a weakness. Whatever the case is, more towards the authentic. So now, imagine you was in the dwelling and you were seeing all this. So Sa'ad was preparing him. Right? He goes, case. In other words, observe what I'm doing. Right? And then he goes, go with him now. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there's an addition. In Ibn Manda, Hafiz Zurqani, in his Sharh al-Mawahib, Sayyidina Sa'ad sent his son Qais with Rasulullah to return the donkey after he had arrived at his dwelling. So think about this. Sa'ad hadn't given him the donkey. He goes, go with Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he's got to his destination, bring the donkey back, meaning blessings. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thereupon said to Sa'ad, put your son in front of me, I on the donkey. Sa'ad replied, Subhanallah, should I put him in front of you, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, yes, for he has more right to his own donkey. Sa'ad thereupon immediately replied, then it is yours, I've given it to you, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then said, now tell him to ride behind me. So let's look at this amazing report. So he wanted the donkey back for blessings. Once the Prophet started a donkey, it's priceless. So what happened? One of the rights of the one who owns transport is that you cannot sit at the front without his permission. So the Prophet said to Sa'ad, tell your son to sit in front of me. So Sa'ad got shocked. He goes, Ya Rasulullah, in front of you. And he said, he has more right. This is his donkey. I can't sit at the front. Immediately Sa'd went, "It's yours." Went, "Look how much love the Prophet had for the family." He goes, "Now tell him to sit behind me." And then you go to the previous report. His son couldn't do it. He goes, "Ya Rasulullah, please." He goes, "Then you made it." So note the deep love the Prophet had for them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also vice versa. Right? So note the great education that Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu was given to his son, Sayyidina Qais ibn Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu. And note many lessons we can take when going through the lives of the illustrious companions of our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصل بالحق ونواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم